Our scripture readings today come from the books of Judges, chapter 21, verses 24 through 25, and from John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 38. Hear the word of God. From Judges. So the Israelites departed from there at that time by tribes and families. They went out from there to their own territories. In those days, there was no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. From John. Then Pilate entered into the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So you might be sitting here today going, I admit, when I got this passage from Tom and Tom said, "Preach on this," I began to think, what is he thinking? And I admit, to plot how to get out of it. I thought about tagging out with Rick because we were at the confirmation retreat yesterday and I was there with Rick teaching in the morning. And I thought, you know, this is the perfect time because Rick was going to do the afternoon, evening and spend the night and do worship with them in the morning. So I thought, hey, I'll just tag out with him and he can deal with this here and I'll stay with the kids. This passage, to me, is a Passion Sunday piece or Holy Week passage. Not a passage that we typically share on the fourth Sunday after Epiphany, when we inch our way closer to Transfiguration Sunday. "My kingdom is not of this world," Jesus says. And I think, yeah, no kidding. It seems pretty obvious after the fact. Yet, at the same time, this has to be, I think, one of the most obscure statements from Jesus. Working for Jesus' kingdom, praying the words that we pray, "Thy kingdom come," it's a pretty difficult endeavor when it seems so far away from the reality in which I live in this wilderness that I call life. The kingdoms of our world could hardly be more opposite than the kingdom that Jesus had in mind, I do believe. This passage, it begs for me to consider, what kind of kingdom is Jesus actually talking about here? And am I helping build this kingdom, God's kingdom, right here, right now? And like Matthew, Mark, and Luke, kingdom language is not really found in the Gospel of John. It's rare. It's only used in two passages, and one we find here, and the other with Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Jesus' reference to the kingdom in the Gospel of John comes up in dialogue with those who represent micro-kingdoms in Jesus' day. As a Pharisee, Jesus represents the kingdom of the Jews. As a Roman procurator, Pilate represents the Roman Empire. These micro-kingdoms, they rule in Jesus' day with an iron fist. So with that in mind, let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this time and in this space be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Give us the courage to pray, "Thy kingdom come," and then be willing to help build your kingdom wherever we journey. And all God's children said,
amen.
Pilate, he's just returned from asking Jesus' accusers about this charge against him. We know from historical records that Pilate was a brutal man. His assignment to the boondocks of Palestine was not a part of Pilate's ambitious political career. He tries to send away the pesky Jews, but they persist. So he comes to investigate whether Jesus is a political threat to Rome. "Are you the king of the Jews?" the Roman governor Pontius Pilate asks Jesus. I believe that this is what's known as a closed-ended question, in which the idea is to elicit a simple yes or no response. I think prosecutors are sometimes smart. They use these questions from time to time because it lets them gain control. Rather than answer Pilate, Jesus becomes the interrogator and the judge in this trial. Pilate is not in control, as he pretends, and Jesus knows it. Jesus responds, "Did you come up with that on your own? Or have people been talking to you?" When being questioned, I think it's sometimes a good idea to get behind the real question, the motive underneath. And so in response to Jesus' question, Pilate declares, "I'm not a Jew, am I?" Of course not. He's quite the opposite. Pilate's a Roman, representing the arm of the empire that's oppressing Jesus' own people, the Jews. I think what Pilate was trying to say here in this passage is, look, I don't really get into the silly notions and silly rhetoric of all this Jewish politics and nonsense. Then Pilate asks Jesus, "What exactly did you do?" The implication there is that whatever it was, it must have been bad. Because the Jews, they really didn't like Romans, and they absolutely loathed Pilate. Yet here they were, handing over one of their very own to the Romans. Jesus responds to Pilate's question, not by boasting or by bragging, but he handles it in a different way. Jesus responds to Pilate's first question, as well as his second one, I believe. Jesus immediately speaks about his community. He calls it a kingdom. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest. My kingdom is from another place." "Aha," thinks Pilate, "so you are really a king." Jesus answers, "You say that I am a king. For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." I believe Jesus' point was that whether or not he was a king was actually secondary. What was primary was his mission, which was to testify to the truth. Jesus was speaking to each one of us. He's speaking to us about our identity. He's speaking to us about our calling in life. We are representatives of the kingdom of heaven, called to testify to the redeeming work of Christ. This kingdom reigns with love, not an agenda aimed at personal glorification or selfish ambition. Jesus' kingdom is not about amassing large amounts of control over people. Jesus' kingdom is not about ruling over and above others. Jesus' kingdom is about relationship, close relationship with God, and close relationship with people that we call the other. Jesus' kingdom is not from this world because it is from God. Pilate, I believe, he attempts to construe the boundaries of Jesus' kingdom in terms of those perpetuated by the kingdom to which he is bound to, what he knows. The concept of kingdom is radically recalculated with Christ. From kingdoms that strain and sever relationships, to a kingdom that puts a relationship at the center and at the core. It's a whole different perspective on kingdom when we see Jesus. When kingdom is construed from the truth of relationship and not rule, from truth of incarnation and not location, from truth of love and not law, then Jesus' truth, it will ring true in this world. This is the truth that the kingdoms of this world just can't see. We as Christians, we're called to shout it from the mountaintop, to show the world the unconditional love of God through Christ Jesus by the way that we live, by our actions, by the words that we speak. How are we doing, church? Are we helping build God's kingdom right here, right now, in this place, in this time? We see from the New Testament accounts that Pilate, he uses power and authority for selfish ends with no concern for building community. And certainly not a community that's grounded and rooted in love and in truth. Pilate, he hoards power and lords it over people to prevent them from doing things and showing love. He even destroys by using the cross. By contrast, Jesus empowers others. He uses his authority to wash the feet of those that he leads. He spends his life on them, his very last ounce, giving his life to bring life. Pilate's rule brings terror, even in the midst of calm. Jesus' rule brings peace, even in the midst of terror. Pilate's followers imitate him by using violence to conquer, to divide people by race, ethnicity, nation. Jesus' followers, they put away their sword in order to invite and to unify people in community. They share scriptures together. They break bread together. They grow together in grace. How are we doing, church? Are we helping build God's kingdom right here, right now, in this place? Pilate's authority originated with the will of Caesar, and it always is tenuous. Jesus' authority originated from doing the will of God. It was eternal. Jesus places all of this choice conversation material before Pilate. But he hears only Jesus' threat to Pilate's own authority. "So you are a king," says Pilate. Jesus again, I think, believes and pushes deeper to the heart of the matter. This, after all, is the trial of the ages. Truth itself is on trial, and Jesus is the star witness that we see. Will Pilate side with truth or with cynicism? What about us? In the end, Pilate attempts to crucify the truth. He places a placard nearby, mockingly announcing Jesus as the King of the Jews. The irony is thick because Pilate has unwittingly announced truth to the world. There on the cross, the king is crowned, not with diamonds or a laurel wreath, but with thorns. And from that lofty height, Christ births the church. We are a community intent on building God's kingdom right here, right now. We are an ally and announcing the truth. The truth, loving truth, wins. So are we helping build God's kingdom right here, right now, in this place and in this time? I believe we are. I believe that we do that in the ministry and the work that we do here at First Coppell. One of the ministries that we have here is the String Fellows School. It's a ministry that has been here for over 30 years. It's a ministry that invests time and energy in building God's kingdom with the youngest in our midst. I encourage you to consider the work that's being done in String Fellow and the investment that's being made and how it's transforming lives. We have an opportunity to sign up for String Fellow Ministry in the next week. On February the 9th, we'll have a time here that you can register. I encourage you to find someone in your neighborhood. Tell them about it. They can come here, come to school, and learn a little bit more about God's love. The children know that they are beloved and that they belong here when they come to String Fellow School. I think we do God's kingdom work when we take a risk and we step out and we take a spot and we go to places like Costa Rica to help build a church there. But also be in community with one another. I find that when I go to Costa Rica, I get way more out of it than what I give. I'm not really all that handy. And so I find that just holding space with one another is the work that I'm called to do. I receive love and I give love. And it makes a difference. It builds God's kingdom right here, right now. I think we do that with our 1+1 ministry when we step out of the box and we make a pledge and a commitment to give 30 minutes of our time once a week to a child in our community to, again, hold space. We say we read and we're going to work on this reading, but the reality is we're there to just simply be a friend, to be in community with one another, to let one another know that you're a child of God. Christ came upon this earth to establish the kingdom of God, an alternative to the earthly kingdoms and principalities that people had experienced. He spoke not of the love of power, but the power of love. And when we hold space with one another, there is power in that love. He clearly gave his presence, his spirit, his authority to his disciples, to each one of us who are here today, to spread his influence, his teaching, his goodness upon the earth until Christ comes again. So on this day, may we not only magnify the Lord, but live into the call when we come to the table of grace today to continue the work together in community with one another, establishing the kingdom of God upon this earth. We can be tempted towards two errors in this kingdom work, I believe. It's often easy to give up, to live into despair. We pray every Sunday, and we said the words this morning, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And yet sometimes it seems that not much changes in this world. And I must confess that I get really tempted to be passive when I see injustice. That I can't make a difference, so I just will sit on the sidelines. I think a second temptation is to use the world's methods to accomplish a good result. Sometimes we find that we believe that the end justifies the means. So sometimes we're tempted to use our own motives and our own power to try to achieve Christ's intentions. If we're doing the work of Jesus, we need to be doing it in the way of Jesus. And so leadership in the way of Jesus is always servant leadership. Jesus lays down his life for the other. Every person here in some way, we have a sphere of influence. We have a position of power and leadership. If we believe that we can help transform this world, we will use our power for the common good of all humankind. Winston Churchill often said that we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. We are God's kingdom builders. When we welcome the stranger, when we visit with our neighbors, when we feed the hungry, when we speak out for justice for all, when we spend time with those that are considered the outcast or the other. Christ's power has always exercised on the behalf of the other. So how are we doing, church? Are we helping build God's kingdom right here, right now, in this place? We need to understand what Jesus meant by kingdom, because the kingdom of God is embodied in Christ himself. Christ came to establish a kingdom not of this world, but in this world through the hearts and the lives of disciples, followers like you and like me, who continually pray over and over and invite God's kingdom to come. In the course of this week, when I was looking at this message, I looked up Kingdom of God. And one definition in a Bible dictionary defined it this way. The kingdom of God is a messianic kingdom in which Christ is the kingdom of God. The Messiah does not come to bring the kingdom. The Messiah comes to be the kingdom. Therefore, the followers are to be the kingdom. Scripture tells us that the kingdom comes to those who repent, to turn around. In essence, Jesus is telling us, turn around, because the kingdom of God, it's here. When we pray, thy kingdom come, we're inviting Jesus to come near. So we're committing our lives to turn around and to welcome Christ here. The kingdom of God is here in each one of us. The kingdom of God reigns. Christ makes it so in each one of us. By God's transforming grace, Christ's kingdom knows no borders or boundaries. It's wherever we go. We are to be the kingdom of God, present in this world today. God's kingdom may feel like a distant dream. Working for God's kingdom, it may seem like an uphill battle every single day, but it's unfeasible. It's ridiculous to think that our efforts and energies can turn the world around. After all, what can one person do? We are God's kingdom builders. I do believe that changing the world begins when each one of us make a commitment. We're a small group, but we're strong and mighty as a small group. When we claim and we refuse to accept the unacceptable that we see. How are we doing, church? Are we helping build God's kingdom right here, right now? Revelation 1:6 says, Jesus made us to be kings and queens. And since we are made to be kings and queens of God's kingdom, it's our calling to work for that kingdom and not for the kingdoms of this world. It's our striving to be different. That's what makes a difference. It's our calling to help bring about what we pray every single Sunday. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. So as we prepare once again to turn and to celebrate this feast that Christ has prepared for each one of us, may we claim our call to be about the work of bringing Christ's kingdom alive. The kingdom Christ talks about is simply the place where God reigns. John Wesley once defined the kingdom of God as the happiness and holiness that is the immediate fruit of God's reigning in the soul. If God reigns in each one of our hearts, then we are citizens of the kingdom of God. So may we come to the table and let Christ reign in our lives right now. May we fervently pray the words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven, not as a wish for the future, but a mission statement that guides all that we do today. By coming to the table and then going into the world, may we show others what it means to live as citizens of the kingdom of God. May we come to the table of grace and leave here ready to help build God's kingdom right here, right now. And all God's people said,